AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for a huge World Cup qualification campaign for Scotland. Still plenty happening on the club front though, with Shin Yamada and Simpson Pusey amongst those left out of Celtic's European squad. The likes of Barami and Dowell have been left out for Rangers, and Kieran Tierney and Anthony Ralston withdraw from the Scotland squad to be replaced by Josh Doig. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Stephen O'Donnell and Gordon Dale.
Yeah, as you said there, Gordon, it's a big week for Scottish football. Obviously our national team get their World Cup campaign off and running tomorrow night, against which will probably be a very difficult fixture in Denmark. Not one there in the last three, I'm right in saying that. But we've got good players, we've got a good manager, so we can go there with a bit of confidence and hopefully get our campaign off to a terrific start. And no better to have ex-international sitting next to me, Stephen O'Donnell.
I'm worried that he's already messed up his stat in the opening of the show. It doesn't sound right to me. I'll need to double check it.
I usually
wait until like 6:30 before you give me something to correct
you over.
I don't think
Scotland have won in Denmark in the last three.
Okay.
Well, we did win the last one at Hampden. It might have been my last game, I'm not
You're
sure.
You're right, that was Hampden. There you go. You're off the hook. You're off the hook. He's done his homework.
He told me in the way in.
See, when he gets a new partner on a Thursday, he likes to show off. He's not given me a stat in 6 months. And because you're here and because you drove him in.
It's because I drove him. He was Googling next to me. That's not even an offer to drive. Just, take me in.
Look after the elderly, don't you?
Exactly. He lives, 50... yards down the road from me. He's quite entitled to take me.
Anyway, good to have you. I know you were brought here under the pretense that you were the Scotland correspondent ahead of a World Cup qualification campaign. I can't promise you that the transfer window hasn't sent such shockwaves that we won't discuss that at length tonight as well. So enjoy yourself between now and 8:00.
I'm strapped in, I'm ready.
Good. 0141 951 1025. Give us all your thoughts, please, on any of the above and more. We're here for you. So again, it has been such a dramatic week with regards to transfer deadline day, because then free agents were signed the next day. Now the European squads have been submitted. So it is truly just rolling on, and I know you will have some thoughts on it, so get them in. 0141 951 1025. Looking at social media, it feels like you Celtic fans are maybe a bit confused, if that's the right word, or mixed messages over who plays when and who's now left out of European squads, and what that says about recruitment and what it says about the way Brendan Rodgers assesses these players and so on. So again, feel free on 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, would you have done anything different? It's been quite a roller coaster for Kieran Dowell, hasn't it? He's played a lot, he's been backed by the manager, is he not in the leadership group, and now left out of the European squad? Does that just make sense? Or would you have done something different? Those would be the leftover points, I think, from the club stuff to maybe link the two, Celtic fans. What about Kieran Tierney and Anthony Ralston pulling out of the Scotland squad? They have come out. Josh Doig has gone in. Some of you will probably think, well, good, because club football is my priority and I want to keep them fit and protect them, which is understandable, each to their own. Other people might think, oh, I hope Anthony Ralston's injury is not long term, because you don't have much cover there at right back. Is this another aspect that might concern you about Kieran Tierney's general fitness, given that he's been coming off early and so on? So get all your thoughts over there. And it is tomorrow night. I know it's been so busy on the domestic front, but this is a World Cup qualification campaign. It is 10 weeks in total. It is a short group, 4 teams, and in that time, in 3 months' time, we'll know if Scotland are going to the World Cup next summer or not. So it is pressing. So thoughts there, please, on maybe what Steve Clarke does, how he lines up. Does Kieran Tierney's withdrawal maybe force the hand a bit more? There's no debate now, perhaps, about the famous back three that Stephen O'Donnell was once a part of. Give us all your thoughts on who should play and who shouldn't, and does Ben Doak come back in, and all the rest of it. We're here for you between now and 8:00 on 0141 951 1025. 5. Do you know what I'm really interested in, Gordon? Surely we've got to get the thoughts from Stephen on how good this new Motherwell manager is.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you've seen, he's, forget all the other stuff he's done, he's turned this guy into prime Baresi. He's strolling about at centre back, picking passes, and I mean, seriously, that's a manager of the month.
Centre back, right back, doesn't matter. Rolling back the years. I was waiting for a phone call when I seen Tony.
I was going to say, I thought you might pull out on us tonight.
Nah, look, mine's really good. He's came in. I think the Wimmer coming in was kind of like a gradual build up. Obviously, when he left, I was disappointed because I thought he'd done well when he came in, but it's certainly playing football to the extreme. And really enjoying it. I think everyone is. I think when you played the cup games at the start, there was maybe a wee bit of apprehension because you're playing against sides who, and it's always tough no matter the style of play, but you're always playing sides that you're expected by the fans to go and walk all over, and it never really happens. But then playing this style of football, it was, yeah, that's the problem, rather than just we weren't good enough. But then obviously come the Rangers game and moving on to St Mirren and St Johnstone, you kind of seen what we're all about, and we're trying to just improve that. The signings that's been made have improved the squad, and hopefully come Christmas we'll be sitting in a really positive position because we do play some good football.
Is it the case that if you're playing you always love the manager, as you say to me travelling in?
100%.
Is it?
No, look, I think,
well, I'll tell you what, we'll phone you if he leaves you out. Okay,
look, I think that could be coming. I think a couple of transfer day deadlines. Yep.
Was it you that tried to put a block on Stephen Welsh's move?
Like, I was like all about Celtic need centre backs in the club, but no, look, I think as I said, we've made some good signings, and hopefully to push the players that are here, and if not, then make us better. Regardless, the club wins, and that's the most important thing. But the manager, like, a simple thing that I really value. It gives your schedule away ahead of time. I think 2 or 3 months. He says it can change, as it always can, with maybe fixtures changing and stuff. But the number of times I've had schedules on a Sunday night trying to deal with my childcare and whatnot for the week on a Sunday night for 1 week.
I must admit, right, I know it's an important part, and you guys are humans and you've got lives, but I did not expect the number one.
No, I'm just saying it's a wee thing that I appreciate.
The number one praise for the Motherwell manager is that he lets him know when his day's off are in advance.
But everything else can come and go.
It's important, isn't it?
Everything else can come and go. We can play good, we can play bad. His training can be good, his training, everything can come
but
and
you
go.
Need to know when you're going to swimming lessons.
But if you have the schedule, then you can plan your life and be as clear and focused for the said training session.
Now I'm about, you can always rely on me if you need anything.
Unbelievable. Anyway, 01419511025 for more excellent insight into what's going on at Motherwell this season. Feel free to call Stephen O'Donnell. We are of course going to look at the Scotland situation. It's a massive World Cup qualification campaign. It kicks off in Denmark tomorrow. Who should play, who shouldn't, are you confident, are you not, all the thoughts there. But Ricky has called us first through this evening. How are you, Ricky?
Yeah, I'm good, panel. Thanks very much for taking the call. I understand this is a free therapy session.
That's what it's been called in the last few nights, but don't tell Gordon Dale that because he'll try and charge us double, so just you take it away.
Well, thanks very much. It was just basically my points about just what's going on at Celtic right now. The tip of the iceberg was really the squad coming out last night. I'm completely baffled by what's going on at my club right now, and leaving out Shin Yamada. Now, this guy has been bought, obviously, by the club. Brendan Rodgers clearly didn't fancy him. Said, well, we need to see what he's like in training, before we see if he's going to be playing. He comes off the bench, and I'm not saying he changed the game against Rangers, because it was dreadful, and I'm not saying for 1 minute he was good, right? But there were signs that we looked a better shape when he was holding the ball up, Drew Fills. I think there's a few Rangers, players couldn't really handle his presence. It seems as if he's quite a strong boy. And he leaves Kenny out the squad, but yet when the squad comes out for the European, the squad, he's no in it. So it's like, what is going on? What's this guy thinking coming to Celtic? It's almost like, these Asian players or the Asian market is like, Ange's market, and Brendan's been stubborn. That's not my type of player. You've not got my striker, so I'm going to then. I'm not saying he shouldn't have put in any actual, because you think, well, he's an experienced striker, but why have Yang when he's wanting to sell him, but yet then bring in, Shin Yamada? That's my kind of first point on it. I'm just really confused about that.
To be fair, Gordon, I absolutely expected this call, because I feel like loads of Celtic fans are in the same boat, given that, I think two ways of looking at it. Firstly, they feel that Yamada's done okay, and given that there's not loads of strikers, why would you not include him? And then secondly, unless I'm missing something, unless there was a reason that Johnny Kenny was left out at the weekend, he wasn't in the squad, and obviously Yamada was and came on for the last half hour or so. That seems strange to you.
I'm with most Celtic fans, it is baffling. It really is. Looking from the outside, Gordon, you just wonder what is going on at Celtic Park just now. It seems like it is a battle between the manager and obviously whether it's recruitment or board or whatever it may be, but there's a split there somewhere. Of that, there's no doubt. Some of the decisions that are now happening with, for instance, that there. I thought Shin come on done okay, right? I thought it was a terrible, terrible game. He come on, he held the ball up a little bit better, he looked a bit livelier. Everything about him, I wasn't expecting to be sitting here tonight thinking, well, he's been left out of the squad and Johnny Kenny, who wasn't involved on Sunday, has leapfrogged over him. Some of the things that are happening with players, they've left themselves a little problem now with Ralston. Obviously, he's pulling out the Scotland squad. He's pulled out the Scotland squad.
Nothing to suggest that's long term, but still.
Yeah, but it's still concerning, Gordon. And then you've got Tierney. Obviously, he's trying to play catch up to get to his fitness because he's not lasting 90 minutes. The transfer window was nothing short of a disaster, and let's be honest about it. And then it just looks like there's something inside Celtic Park that is certainly not right at this moment in time.
In relative terms, because let's be honest, nobody really did well, nobody deserved praise, it was very forgettable, but did Yamada do enough within that context on Sunday to, is that where the surprise is coming from?
Yeah, no, look, I would agree with Ricky. I think what we need to be careful of is too much speculation. Yamada could be injured, maybe Kenny was injured at the weekend. I don't have access to that information. If they were, then that obviously dictates Brendan Rodgers' decisions. But yeah, I totally agree with Ricky. I thought when Yamada came on, I thought he had an impact. And that's what you look for subs to do when they come on, have an impact, and he done that. So yeah, I'd agree if he's fit. I'm surprised he wouldn't be in the squad with Kenny, because obviously you always look for a striker coming on. But again, he's obviously happy with maybe Maeda as an option. Kenny and Denny and Acho as well. So it's again, there is options there. I just surprised that Celtic didn't strengthen sooner. But again, I'm not in charge of that, and I'm sure Brendan has obviously made some points about it in interviews, but there's plenty of business done that Celtic should be good enough to go on and win the league.
Yeah, well, maybe Johnny Kenny. Gordon, I don't think it was announced he was injured before the game at the weekend. I take Stephen's point, leave open the possibility that he was. It certainly wasn't. I really don't think that was flagged. I'm sure I listened to all of Brendan Rodgers' press conference on the Friday. And as for Yamada, again, I think, because this is for your full European campaign, so if it was just a niggle now, you wouldn't leave someone out of the squad for that. And if it was something serious long term, I think it would have been in Celtic's best interest to sort of get that out there last night or brief people about it. As part of a wider point though, do you see why people are making the leap to say that this is more than just a decision that's been made, you know, a difference in opinion about who should be playing in the squad? People are sort of projecting onto this, I think, a real disconnect at some point between who's signing who and who favours who.
It's got to be.
Even it's not getting the same headlines as the striker, but Simpson Pusey's come up from Man City, actually has played in Man City's first team and isn't in the European squad. So either he's really not catching the eye in training at all, which is fine, you know, you can only pick the players who are performing. But again, just on the face of it, you wouldn't have expected him to be left out after being signed.
No, and I think there'd have been communication from Manchester City before he came up, Gordon, that obviously he had to be involved in some capacity. It looks like he's right down the pecking order. Look, I think if all's well at Celtic Football Club, I think guys like Johnny Kenny's out on loan just now. There's no doubt in that, right? I think in pre-season, he got off to a good start going against Queen's Park. He got involved in games. He looked lively. He's not that level yet, the lad, right? He's not. I think he's got good talent. I think there's a great opportunity to further his career. He needs games. I think going out on loan would have been great for him. But Celtic are in such a position that they left themselves short of front men, especially centre forwards. When Adam Ida went out the door, they were scrambling all over the place to get people in. They had to get into the free agent market, as we've seen, I know, and all of a sudden Johnny Kenny's an important part of it, and then the European squad. There's certainly a disconnection. I know it's easy for us to sit here and speculate, but I think because of the way you hear Celtic manager talking, I think you see the recruitment, you see everything that's been brought into Celtic. It just doesn't add up, Gordon. It doesn't, especially a club that do their business so, so well.
Our colleague David Friel has quite rightly pointed out that although you're trying to find reasons or excuses and say, oh, maybe it's this and maybe it's that, Johnny Kenny, he's in the Ireland squad. So I don't think, there doesn't look like there's an injury there, or was. You know, he was called up to the Ireland squad. Nothing changed on that front.
Maybe Brendan just prefers him.
Ricky, overall, so much said this week, and I couldn't put a percentage on it, but about 95% of the calls we get are Celtic fans a bit disillusioned with what's going on. Have you sort of calmed down any as the week goes on, or are you pretty sure that this negativity is justified?
He's my mate yesterday, and I says I'm feeling a bit more positive about looking at the squad, and the squad in general, but then when the European squad got announced, I was like, what is going on? I think that's a clear sign. See, the thing is with the squad, for me, that seems like that's his squad for the league as well. You know, this is the players that I'm going to play throughout the course of the season. So it's like, where does your manager sit in this whole thing? Like, you know, the bright spark as well is we had Anna Moura, who came in against Livingston. Oh, you know, due respect to Livingston, I know they're not the great side, right? But he came in and he was forward thinking, forward passing. If I can make this another point about Brendan Rodgers' style of play is dinosaur stuff, you know. And I hate saying it because obviously I love Brendan. I love what he's done. You know, I'll still back him. You know, this isn't a case of, you know, get the manager out. But you see, if we look at the last month, the football's been so slow. It's been passing back. Bill Rashid, or whatever his name is, the new winger, when he get the ball, every time he done was pass it back and then pass it back. And it seems to be a common trend with Celtic over the past few games. But see, if you go back further, how many callers and how many games have we watched where we say Celtic have started slow? We started slow and then the second half we've picked it up. How many times was Brendan Rodgers going to the dressing room every single half and go, this has been too slow, lads, we need to pick up in the second half?
The thing I can't shake on that point Ricky makes is a good one, because I think a lot of people have been talking about it, Gordon and Stephen, you'll know it, playing is the Brendan Rodgers needs to take responsibility for everything because he's a manager, so he's involved in signing the players, he then picks them for the squad, he motivates them, sets them up, etc. There's not a chance though he told Balakwisha to keep turning back and passing it. No way, like impossible. I know everybody's got their opinions here. There is not a chance that was under instruction.
I also don't think all the clips that he'd have watched in the games that they went to see, he was signing him because he goes back really well and plays a nice pass to his centre mid.
I just think it was he get pitched into such a big game, Gordon. And these games, you either sink or swim in these early on. Let's not be kidded here. You're at Ibrox. The majority of the fans are 40,000 Rangers supporters there. The pressure that was on both teams getting into it, obviously Rangers had a lot of pressure on their manager, and obviously Celtic had a lot of pressure on their board and lack of spending. So to be pitched into that, look, I think he played it, let's say, very safely indeed. I think every Celtic fan would like to have seen him going and being direct and going one and one. And Stephen will tell you he's a fullback. If you've got a winger there, it's got a bit of pace, a bit of trickery about him. The one thing you want to do see him doing is turning his back team, passing the ball back, rather than taking you inside or taking you outside and putting it by you and try to beat you with pace. So I can understand that because of the nature of the game, but we just need to give these guys time.
Thank you to Ricky. Let's bring in Lindsay and get the take from Paisley. Take it away, Lindsay.
Hi, what it is, I'm just phoning up about the captain, Greg Taylor. I see his name's not getting mentioned about being away in the way they're playing, you know. I thought on Sunday's game was we're nothing up the left-hand side and the cross is going into the box.
Yeah, sometimes in football you don't know what you've got till it's gone and all that sort of stuff was...
Well, look, I just think
Kyoko, Kuhn and Jota's out of the team. They're all talking about them, but they've not talked about Taylor.
Well, look, I heard Sutton mention it during the game, and what I would say is Greg and Kieran are two very, very different fullbacks. What I'm pleased with in one regard is I know Greg well, and it was disappointing that for I felt from the outside that the Celtic fans always felt they could do better. And it was Greg Taylor from Kilmarnock. Greg Taylor's he's all right. He's no good. He's not a Celtic player. He played however many games. Yes, he made mistakes along the way because everybody does. But he did bring a style of football along with the manager, Postecoglou, when he came in, coming inside, the inverted fullback, and he shooted it comfortably. I remember a pass against Kilmarnock at the Rugby Park. He played, he split the defence open to get the, I think it was to get the first goal. He had qualities that a lot of the times was taken for granted by maybe the board, but certainly by the fans. So the fans need to accept a bit of responsibility with that one as well. On saying that, Kieran is an exceptional player. When you get Tierney fit, he's one of the best left backs in the world. I hope he still is. And what we need to try and be as patient with him. He's not played a lot of football in the last couple of years. And it would have made sense in my eyes to keep them both, try and give Greg the contract.
That was never going to happen.
How do you know it never happened?
I don't think Greg Taylor had been played there, been the number one left back. He knows Tierney's coming in. Let's not be kidded here. When everybody heard Tierney coming in, you're going, that's an upgrade, because I agree with you. I think Tierney on his game.
Brendan Rodgers said he wanted to keep them both.
I know, but I don't think Greg Taylor would have. I think Greg Taylor looked at that situation at that time in his career, Stephen, and thought, I've got a guy coming in here, it's absolutely brilliant. I totally understand that, but yes, I do agree. Right now, Greg Taylor is missed.
Fair question, Lindsay. Thank you very much. We'll take more of those calls when we return.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Stephen O'Donnell is here, so is Gordon DL. Scotland squad are out in Denmark for the upcoming World Cup qualifier. So get your thoughts in if you have any on that. Kenny's in Yoker first, though. Hi, Kenny.
How you doing? You all right?
Good, Kenny. What are you thinking?
I'm just... I listen to these every day, but It's getting a bit boring, just the narrative. And I'll be honest with you, it started from Hugh Keevan, who always riles me up for some reason. Just this whole Celtic narrative and how it's the worst thing ever in the world, what's happening right now. And, you know, all I'm doing is just looking at the league table.
That might be your problem, Kenny. If the only thing you're doing is looking at the league table, then you won't see any problem.
Well, what I want to ask is, where is the big problem? The big problem is the transfer activity. That's where everyone is homing in on.
Yeah, which isn't shown on the league table.
Which is not shown in the league table, yes, but we've got where we are in the league table without it. So the transfers that are coming in right now is surely going to bolster that. Obviously, we don't know that yet, but it's surely going to bolster it. Now, a comment got made about 5 minutes ago, whenever it was, from that is regarding, you know, there's definitely something within Celtic, there's definitely something going on within Celtic. Where are they getting this from? Because Celtic have mucked up another transfer window. It's not new. It's not new, Celtic mucking up transfer windows. You know, so I don't know where, the narrative is coming from that...
I'll tell you where it's coming from, Kenny, right? Because you're allowed to disagree. I love it when people disagree with what's happening and then we get a bit of balance. But forget Hugh Keevans for a second. I love nothing more than to criticise him and blame everything on him. Hugh comes on the show on Wednesday. Prior to that, Monday and Tuesday, the Celtic fans who phone in have been furious, saying much stronger things than Hugh's said. So the notion that Hugh somehow starts it is is just false. Any narrative that's going around at the moment is coming for the Celtic fans, Kenny. Have you not seen this open letter that's been sent to the Celtic board? It's been signed by umpteen Celtic supporters clubs, all the different branches of fan media. There's stories today that Michael Nicholson's now aware of it. Like, this is big, Kenny. You don't have to agree with it, but don't pretend it's some sort of Hugh Keevan's concoction to spread negativity.
No, I'm not blaming it. I'm not blaming it all on Hugh Keevan. That was a kind of tongue-in-cheek joke, to be honest, because he riles me up when he's talking.
Well, me as well, to be fair.
But, no, that was tongue-in-cheek. It's not all Hugh Keevan's fault, but I like to blame him. But I'm not saying that everything's rosy at Celtic. It's not. But I just think that there's a lot of... I mean, see, the supporters clubs and everything else, okay, they guys, they can go. They can go and say what they want. They pay their money every week. I don't go to many games. And if they've got their opinion, they've got their opinion. I won't stand in front of that. But there is other Celtic fans, and there's thousands and thousands and thousands of Celtic fans that are not in these clubs. And I've spoken to a couple, and I've heard some on your show, that's thinking along the same lines as me. I think there's been a few people that have just been acting like complete drama queens, to be honest, because I don't really see, right now, I don't see what Daz is seeing in regards to there's a problem with things out. Yes,
well, Kenny, can you answer me the question then? You just said, I don't think everything's rosy at Celtic.
No,
what way?
Because we've messed up the transfer window.
Yeah.
We've messed it up, but it's not.
Yeah. So do you think Brendan Rodgers is a happy Celtic manager when the window closed?
No, I don't think he was.
There you go then.
I'm also going to go on the other coin as well. It was also Brendan Rodgers that messed up one of the transfer windows because of what he brought in. So we can't, you know, if we're going to look at one side, we need to look at another. And the board, being the board, looking at that, because they're the guys that are spending the money. Brendan Rodgers has got a name, yes, but they're the guys that are spending the money. And I'm not too sure in my business, if I gave somebody so many millions and it didn't return much, would I then give that guy another 25 million?
Right, okay, Kenny, I take that point. Here's one for you, right? Who's in charge of Celtic Football Club, as in the players? Brendan Rodgers?
Yes.
Brendan Rodgers comes out Friday, Saturday, correct me if I'm wrong, and says, yeah, Adam Eder will not be sold to Swansea until he gets a player in the building. The transfer window sold is closed. Adam Eder was away and they had to get into the free market to get a centre forward in. What does that tell you, Kenny?
How do you know that? We are basing
because Brendan Rodgers said it.
Yeah, no, he said that, but what I'm saying is we are basing on what a lot of the rumours are based on speculation.
Well, that's not a rumour. Hold on a minute. What do you mean? What bit of what he said is a rumour?
I'll explain it. So, Brendan Rodgers came out and said, Adam Eder will not be allowed to leave unless we get another striker. Yeah?
Yep.
Okay. Right. So, Adam Eder left. Right? So, immediately, and I spoke to your producer when I tried to get on the other day, and he said, that's how I've seen it as well. So, when he said Adam Eder had left, blah, 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 the first thing I thought of, we've got a striker in the door. It might not have been portrayed to media, but do you think for 1 minute Brendan's going to say that, let Adam Eden go, sanction that, and we'll not have the striker?
But there wasn't one.
I think what Kenny's getting to is that he's spoke
based
to
on what?
Ian Atchell. No one was signed. That's based on that. It's a fact. Nobody was signed when the window closed.
Yes, I get that, but that's why I'm saying it's based on speculation, Gordon.
That's not what
saying,
speculation means.
But it is. Well, okay. But what I'm saying is we would not have let Adam Eder go and sign on that dotted line if we did not have a striker that was signing. Maybe not at that precise moment, but it broke.
So you think the Ian Atchell thing was always the plan?
No, I don't think it was always the plan. No, but
I was just about to defend you for Ian Atchell. I was going to say, you've got his word that he's going to sign, and you've taken that word and let Eder go because he needed to wait to get his pay up from Sevilla. That's what I'm thinking you're getting to, and then you've just told me that Akechi and Atchell was not the one they were wanting. So you've lost me now. I was on your side to a point.
No, what I'm saying is there was something there to let Adam Eder sign in that dotted line. That's what I mean. That's what I mean.
Yeah, but
Let him go for nothing.
Yeah, but then they did in the end. So who's speculating now? Because what factually happened is that Adam Eder left and no striker was signed until Iheanacho. So there's no speculation, as you keep saying, attached to that, is there? That's just factually what happened.
No, I get what you're saying. It's not signed. Like, we weren't notified that Celtic had signed. It didn't happen, blah, blah. I know that. But what I'm saying is, Adam Eder, after what Brendan had said, wouldn't have been allowed to sign if there wasn't, you know, something going on in the background that we were going to get.
Look, I would like to think that, to be fair, I would like to think at Celtic, and obviously knowing the comments that Rodgers has said, that the board, whoever makes the decisions, says, are you happy with us letting him go? But we'll back you to get Iheanacho, right? And he's went,
chance.
I'm comfortable with that. If he's, that's what you'd like to think's happened. Has it happened? I don't know. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking you're alluding to that, but we can't, that is speculation. I would like to think it's the fact of a club that's been ran very well for a long, long time, that would have happened, but we can't really know. What we do know for
I
fact,
I don't think a big percentage of Celtic supporters will buy that, mate. I think they were scrambling about trying to get a striker in.
I'm so confused by this, because I don't get me wrong, I am sure that was the thought, that, well, we can let Adam Eder go because we'll get someone. I've absolutely no doubt that was the thought, but they didn't. So I really struggle to see the,
yeah,
because that's the judgment call that you make in that moment. It's like any sort of negotiation, but it went wrong.
See where I'll agree with Kenny slightly here. I'm not sitting here throwing the board under a bus here. I know there's different ways you run the club, and Celtic run their club brilliantly. All I'm saying is, I don't think Brendan Rodgers and a lot of this percentage of the Celtic fans are happy with the transfer activity before the window closed.
Thank you to Kenny. Charlie's on the other line. Charlie, take it away.
Guys, how's it going?
Good.
Good to talk to you. Obviously, I've been listening there about the Eder one, and maybe it'll come up at the end of my point. My point is about Brendan Rodgers making rotten decisions. To be honest, he needs to take responsibility. I'm not looking anywhere else. Right now, at Benuti Champions League, I'm not looking anywhere else. Celtic had, as has been mentioned on the show over the last week or so, Celtic had a chance there. But somehow Brendan Rodgers' decision-making has got me baffled, and this is what I want to talk about. It's the likes of using Negrin on the right-hand side, and especially the Livingston game, where I was sitting at the Livingston game, and the whole first half, he's getting the ball on the right-hand side, and he got it, must have got half a dozen times on there. But as the half wore on, he was getting it in more and more space. He was getting an acres of space, and not once did he ground outside, not once could he swing it in the right foot. The boy is never, ever, ever a right winger.
I think Brendan Rodgers said that after the game, though, didn't he? Remember, he was asked, and he said he thought he was better once he moved in the pitch.
Absolutely. I brought him on, and they moved him in the pitch in the second half. But however, in the games after that, in the Old Firm game and the European qualifier, they put him right in midfield or the right winger in the Old Firm game. Mm-hmm. They put him out there again and does the same thing again. He also, within Amoura, there was three things that happened in that Livy game that interested me. There was the Nigerian situation, who's just not on the right, ever. There was Inamura, who can put a ball in a six, but he played well, it seemed to be. The Celtic's left-back played well, and he should be coming in there. But Johnny Kenny came on and done 5 minutes, and this is what you were talking about earlier with the last caller, about the Adam Eder situation. Johnny Kenny came on and done 5 minutes, but the big man has done five games. And what does he need today to get a game? He scored on his debut up at Aberdeen. He scored the other day, come on, 5 minutes. The players are in the building. What's he got to do? And then he's left another boy. He's left Yamada, who looks, you know, he looks like he's got something about him. He's making more questionable decisions. He's left Yamada out of the European squad. What's going on here? It's Brendan Rodgers I'm questioning, not the board, who handsomely supplied them with cash. Not it's on Brendan Rodgers.
I don't know why people feel the need to say, why does it have to be only one thing or only the other? Because we said at the top, Brendan Rodgers is the Celtic manager, he can't possibly be immune from criticism. However, why do you think he played Nigrin in the wing
because they didn't have a lot of options.
So like, yeah, yeah. The two are obviously linked.
I agree with Charlie as well. Brendan Rodgers can't escape scot-free here, right? Because see if you look back in the last sort of all the big games where Brendan Rodgers has been brilliant as a manager for Celtic, the trophies and everything he's won, right? But if you look back in the big games, he's not won a thing against Rangers in five. He loses the Scottish Cup to Aberdeen. It was a dreadful Aberdeen side, you've got to say. Just want to get to penalties. The European tie there against Almaty, 200-odd minutes with a squad that he's got, Celtic parting over there, can't lay a glove on them, can't score a goal. Ibrox, I thought it was a good point for Celtic. I thought if you're getting in there, you've not conceded a goal still in the league, top of the league, you walk away, depleted squad, I think it's a good result. But once again, doesn't produce. So I agree that it can't just all be focused on the board because there are arguments from both sides here. What I'm trying to say is the board, the recruitment and Brendan Rodgers, and I would probably bet my last 50p on it, they ain't all seen eye to eye at this moment in time. And I think that's where the problem is.
So busy, I forgot to mention that every caller, including Charlie, Kenny before him, everyone else who comes through to make a point to the panel tonight, goes in the hat for a pair of tickets to Saturday at the Ladbrokes Ergo Cup. It's the 18th to 20th of September. I've said this the other night, Gordon DL will be right down the front for Martin Kemp's DJ set. He's told me he's so excited about it. So if you want to meet him there, you can. You can book your tickets at air-racecourse.co.uk, but you can actually just win a pair by simply making a point to the panel tonight. So why not do that now, and we'll speak to you next. Hold on, I've got plenty more to tell you about, actually. Giving away things for fun. You two are just about to kick back and chat away as if it was the break. That's my fault, because I thought it was as well. But there is plenty more going on that you will want to bear in mind. £551,000 up for grabs tomorrow. You can get 100 entries into the draw by texting BANK to 61025. The texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. For 5 entries, text YES to 61025. Texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can call 03434 269 340. Calls charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. The online entry and rules for this Rail Network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. The lines do close 5pm tomorrow, so please don't miss out. Text YES to 61025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Stephen O'Donnell and Gordon DL are here at 01419511025. Lots of Celtic fans on about the European squad, and I think sort of linking that into the transfer window. What about you Rangers fans? Was that the right European squad you picked? I think the kind of headline omissions were Barami, Dowell. Anything you're bothered about, anything you're reading into there, you know where we are. And the Scotland fans, how are you feeling ahead of tomorrow? This is very unusual. We've got 10 weeks in which it will be decided whether Gordon DL is off to America, Canada and Mexico in support of the team at the World Cup next season, or whether he's staying in Motherwell for the summer. So that's massive, massive repercussions. Mm. Stephen O'Donnell's hoping as well either that there's a few injury call-offs, or he can, you must be in line for some sort of like
kit
media.
I was thinking injury corporate call-offs with your team. I was thinking Gordon maybe pulling a hamstring or something, losing his voice.
A gig for you over there, surely.
Surely.
Kit man. Surely, you kit man. Get yourself assistant kit.
The
man.
Way he's performing this season, I'm not ruling it out. I will not rule it out. Brendan's on the line. Not that one, obviously. Oof. I'm sure I've probably cracked that joke before as well. Brendan and Pollock, take it away.
How you doing, Gordon? I know, but my point is to the panel is, right, so I'm a season ticket holder at Parkhead, right? I'm £730 a year for my season ticket. Now, that break that down over 19 games, that's £38 a game. Right, so I put that in, plus then I buy the packages and the cut tickets. So last year I worked out, I was £2,400 just to watch football. Right, and we believe the fans, I can see the fans from my point of view, because I'm a part of one of the supporters clubs that your previous caller was talking about. I put my hard earned money into Celtic, and we don't believe we're receiving quality back. We invest time and time and time again, and see the board know, or sorry, we'll let them waive other packages and all that and gear up their season tickets, because we've got another 25,000 fans on the waiting list that are waiting to fill in their seats. So they're like, we're in easy street. We've got our season tickets sold for the next 10 years guaranteed. And it's and then they're just pocketing all their cash.
Because I think the previous caller, the, one of the phrases he used to describe some of the Celtic fans at the moment was drama queens. You think that, that's unfair then?
No, it's, how can we say it's drama? So see, we'll go for Falkirk, we'll go Falkirk, Dundee, Dundee United, right? For a season ticket for them per season is about £320. Right, you're getting value for money there. We're not getting any value for money.
Brendan, did you get value for money last year, what do you think? Because you were a game away from winning a treble. The European campaign, you've got to say, was with the new format, was exciting. I thought Celtic, obviously, Bayern Munich games pop up. So would you, and by the way, it is a lot of money. I congratulate you in paying that money to go watch football. But would you say you get value for money last year?
Last year, I would say just.
Right.
Just. Right, so see, I'll give you an example. See, Sunday's game there for us to go, it was £56 plus booking fee to go and see Celtic Rangers.
Yeah.
Now, do you firmly believe that that game was worth £56 to go and see?
I think that game was worth £100 to leave at 12:30.
To see, to be fair, right, I get why Brendan's presenting it like that, because again, and fair play to him, he's paying money that I'm not paying, so it's not to diminish that. But that's probably part of a wider problem, really, isn't it? About, you know, because people might say, is it ever going to be worth £56? You know, like, I think that's quite a hard question. What would Celtic have to do for it to be actually worth that? Unfortunately, it's just the way the world's going. And it is a real shame for fans, but I think there's maybe two different arguments here.
Look, I think, would you be happy, Brendan, if that transfer window went and the board said the ticket prices are going, they're halved, and the packages for Europe, because we didn't get in the Champions League, are halved? Would you then be happy looking for value for money, or would you still be unhappy? So I don't think, I think football fans and Celtic, with the vast fans they have, I think you're happy spending the £2,400, but you're just disappointed that you don't see the club really valuing reinvesting it. Money. Yeah, so having the 100 million in the bank or the 80 million in the bank, Celtic don't need that. You feel that you just want them spending it to try and improve the brand and the team, and it's just not worked like that for the past 10 years. So to kind of come back and say it's not value for money this year specifically, this has happened time and time again, so I don't see why it's really. Do you mean, I don't think anything this year has dramatically happened that's caused this to be.
Brendan, because some people from the outside, I always do defend fans like you, because you want your standards and you're judging Celtic by Celtic standards. You want them to keep getting better. But at the same time, there are a lot of football fans out there that would say 13 out of the last 14 titles, you know, is value for money essentially. Would you, do you understand that side of it?
The way I'm going to point it out, right? So see that 700, right? So last season my season ticket wasn't £730, right? Last season my season ticket was £670. Now the reason that Celtic gave for the increase in the tickets is to cover the match day staffing expenses, because of the national insurance increase and all that and whatever else, right? But the clubs get so much money. Why do they need to take it out of our pocket to cover that expense, right? And then they've got the cheek to take that extra money out the supporters' pockets, right? And then no reinvest the money. Like, so see, I'm not asking for Celtic to go out and spend 20 or 30 million. What I'm asking Celtic to do, and with my money that I invest in that club, is to go and buy key players that we've lost. Like, replace Kuhn, replace Kyogo. Don't just let these guys walk out the boat. I don't. This is unbelievable. Then I don't either go to Swansea in the last day, and we've not even got a replacement lined up, and we're away searching for a guy that can't even get his contract ripped up to Seville and go to the Celtic fans. Oh, there you go, but we got a striker in. He's a has-been. He's done.
No, see, be fair though, I think
it's a bit hard to say that. We don't know.
It clearly wasn't by design, although Kenny earlier thought it might have been. I just always leave open the possibility that maybe he will. Maybe Brendan Rodgers gets a tune out of him. You just don't know. You'd be as well waiting to find out. But I do see.
We are all going very early in
but again,
signing.
To be fair, understandably, because look at the way it's played out. This is not.
Look, Celtic have known they needed a replacement for Kyogo for a long, long time since January. They probably knew that Adam Ida After spending the money on him this year, he was ready to leave the club. He wasn't a fit there. The fans had sort of a turn against him. The lad obviously looked like he'd lost a lot of confidence. Still bagged 20 goals, you've got to say, but he wasn't going to be the answer. So all those problems, and I think this is where the Celtic fans, and Brendan is quite right to vent their concerns, I'll not say anger, concerns, is the fact that they've had so much time. The Celtic manager even came out and said, look, I've not got a problem with the spending how much. It's when we spend it. We have to do it quicker. And I think that's what's upset the fans.
Thank you to Brendan. It's time for us to have some fun with this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Right, come on down, Stephen O'Donnell. Untested at this level. Played
you
once or twice?
Played? Three times, I think. Or three wins? Definitely three times and three wins. Or twice
yeah,
and two.
The stakes are higher, mate. Look.
We're giving away the special Beat the Pundit coins these days.
And by the way, they cost fortunes. You can't give them away.
Huge.
How many have you got?
Responsibility.
Minimum? I have 3 out of 3 wins.
What if you want to play, you have to call before 7 o'clock. 0141 951 1025.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Stephen O'Donnell is here. He was brought here under false pretenses. I told him, what's the night before Scotland's World Cup qualification campaign? You've got 26 caps. We'll be chatting away about Steve Clark's side in there.
If it's a bad result, do not invite me in on Monday or Tuesday, because I don't want to hear the negative.
All we've done so far is talk about the transfer window, which is fine. We're here to serve the people. That's what the number one topic is. We are fine with it, but we will hopefully hear from Steve Clark. He's doing his press conference out there in Denmark. Who do you think should play? Formation, qualification hopes, all of that stuff. Give us your thoughts, please. Stuart is on the line. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Matthew is going to give us his thoughts after that, but Stuart is on first to play. How are you, Stuart?
Not bad, not bad.
Good stuff. Me too. Have you ever played before?
No, that's the first time. My mate phones up every night and I've heard him play a few times.
Oh,
so
who's and is he good?
He's won twice, to be fair to him.
Oh, not bad.
Somebody else in the car with you there, Stuart?
No.
No, Stuart, tell the truth.
No, nobody's in the motor with me, but
see, to be honest, you're allowed
always,
that anyway.
I know you always accuse people of having...
I hate that. He was probably driving a 56-seater, didn't he?
For somebody who's been accused of many things in his life, sure, he's very quick to point the finger at others.
Yeah, I don't like that. I think that should be a rule.
Is that your defence mechanism? See, when you get accused of stuff you don't like, do you go on the attack to deflect away from
what I do is I hold my hand up to my mistakes.
Please. I do not believe, not for 1 second. Right, we've got the new Beat the Pundit coin. It's the novelty's still not worn off. I love it. I love the craftsmanship, and we're now giving it away as well. If you can beat the pundit, the blue side will be for Stephen O'Donnell, the red side will be for Gordon DL. You ready?
Yep.
Let's do it. Oh, yes. He's got away with it. It's the red side, it's Gordon
DL. All the best, Stuart, and all your friends that's with you.
Same yourself.
What's your record this season? Three from three.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see what we got. Give Gordon DL something else to listen to, please, so that he can't hear us. Stuart, it's pretty straightforward, as I'm sure you know, but for the record, 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Cheers.
Right, let's do it then. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Kelechi Iheanacho was managed by Brendan Rodgers at which club before Celtic?
Leicester City.
Name either player who was dropped from Rangers' European squad.
Bayrami.
Who's the oldest outfield player to play in the top flight this season?
Pass.
Name the only current championship side John McGlynn has managed.
Raith Rovers.
Which English side have completed the signing of Aberdeen's Fletcher Boyd?
Nottingham Forest.
True or false, there is a fish on the Peterhead club badge?
True.
Okay, let's bring him back, Gordon DL. I'm worried for you.
Sure, good.
He was, but I think more than that, I think
some of these questions
bit tough, and you just what are the chances of you going on a long unbeaten run?
Nah, there's absolutely no chance. It's international break, I'll probably lose.
Would you put your feet up in the international
break? Yeah, pre-season, close season, international break, I don't really care.
Right, okay. Same set of questions, 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Kelechi Iheanacho was managed by Brendan Rodgers at which club before Celtic?
Leicester.
Name either player to be dropped from Rangers' European squad.
Dowell.
Who's the oldest outfield player who's played in the top flight this season?
Cal McGregor, no idea.
Name the only current championship side John McGlynn has managed.
Falkirk. Red Rovers.
Which English side have signed Aberdeen's Fletcher Boyd?
Pass.
True or false, there's a fish on the Peterhead badge.
True.
Who's Celtic's first Europa League game against?
I've seen it as well. Pat, I would say Rome, it's no, but I've seen
okay,
it.
Okay, Stuart, it sounded rattled.
We'll see.
Wraith Rovers. It's Wraith Rovers, isn't it?
Of course it is.
Do I get that?
Because Falkirk are famously
in the Premier League.
Not in the Championship, so.
How did I not get that?
That's poor from you, isn't it? Right, let's go through them and find out. Kelechi Iheanacho was managed by Brendan Rodgers at which club before Celtic? It was, of course, Leicester, and you both got it. Name either player dropped from Rangers' European squad. You had Nadim Barami or Kieran Dowell. Maybe get your thoughts on those if you want to phone in. You both got it, 2-2. Who's the oldest outfield player in the Premiership this season that's played? Who would you go for?
Schmeichel. Stephen O'Donnell.
I said outfield.
How old are you? Jump to gut. Don't use that.
I'm a young pup.
How old are you?
Him!
Oh!
No, I'm not the you seriously think he's the oldest player outside in the league?
Outfield.
Outfield. No. A stinker, Schmeichel.
He's. But
who is it?
Who is it?
Brian Graham.
Oh, what is he?
Good bit older than you, to be fair.
He's a good bit.
He'll be listening.
Touching 37.
Scott Arfield, second. There you go. Schmeichel is the oldest.
I'm
not,
throwing
not,
my 100% record away here.
He's not an outfielder.
I've got to get Falkirk. Wraith Rovers. Got to get it.
Okay. Right, we've got the only current championship side that John McGlynn has
Rovers
managed.
Wraith Rovers, I say. He's at Falkirk. But Wraith Rovers.
Stuart got it. He's in front of you. He is in front of you. Who has signed Aberdeen's Fletcher Boyd? Stephen O'Donnell. Do you care to offer anything?
Nope.
No? Aston Villa? £1 million or something, I think.
I'll tell you what, see if Stuart gets that. I'm taking the ball in myself.
He did not get it. 3-2 though, still he is in front. Is there a fish on Peterhead's badge? Of course there is. It's true. Well done, Gordon. Stuart got it as well.
No, for sure.
You needed the last one to equalise and you passed it. Why did you pass? Who's Celtic's first Europa League opponent?
I've seen it and I can't remember. I looked at it before we come into this office and I can't remember.
They're commonly referred to as Red Star Belgrade. I'll go for that rather than trying the proper pronunciation. But
nah, Wraith Rovers, come on, I've got to get that. You heard me saying,
I mean,
he manages Falkirk, but it's Wraith.
Wraith Rovers, legend as well, probably. You'd have to use that word, wouldn't you? I know it gets thrown around too easily.
Who is?
You?
All right. I'm disappointed with that, Gordon.
I'm disappointed, aren't you?
Coincidentally as well, he's actually got the championship team page turned over.
So he does, he's got the table right in front
of
him.
I knew it was Wraith Rovers, but I went Falkirk too quick.
Falkirk aren't on that.
Shut up, you.
Dived in, absolutely embarrassed.
Oh, I've lost my record.
Queen of the South.
Stuart, he was flying as well and you've humbled him. Now, the big question, Stuart, don't let me peer pressure you. Are you taking the sign ball or are you taking the collector's item money can't buy, beat the pundit coin?
I'll take the coin.
Yes.
Yes.
We're giving them away now. Is that not two in a row? I think we did last night.
Who won last
night? Simon Donnelly has not won all season. Can't buy a win.
Seriously?
I don't know what's wrong with him. He was fine last season. His head's just gone.
Oh.
Is it bad performance from him or is it good performance for the.
Pretty bad. He was 8 minutes late for the show as well, incidentally.
Can we get him a move? Is the window closed?
Honestly.
To another radio station.
He wants to know if you want to go and watch him. He's playing in the charity game Celtic Man United at the weekend.
I heard that at Celtic Park. No.
No, okay, never mind. Stuart, who's your team?
I'm a Rangers supporter.
What's on your mind this week then? Because it feels like you lot weren't happy either, and then you weren't really cheered up by the game on Sunday, but all of a sudden the noise from the transfer window out of Celtic is louder. So what is? I'm assuming it doesn't change anything for you Rangers fans, but we're just not hearing it as much.
No, that's exactly. I don't think it changes anything. I think it's still like there's good news that's come out the window with like Raskin staying, but obviously we've still got to see what comes of that when it comes back off the international break. But yeah, it's been a weird start to the season. It's been a poor start to the season, but I think looking at both sides are poor. So it's just whoever's best of a bad bunch at the end of the day.
Funnily enough, I actually just noticed that the Belgian team earlier, Nicholas Raskin's amongst the subs still obviously in the squad though. Were you encouraged yesterday by all the things Kevin Thelwell addressed? I know by definition it's going to be limited because it's in-house media and, you know, maybe wouldn't be pressed the way that he would otherwise, but he still did it, you know, and other clubs might not do that, and he still was asked some to address some relatively awkward topics maybe about, you know, why do you go into the English market so much, why do you sign so many loans, is Russell Martin the man, you know, that sort of stuff. Did you pay much attention?
I think it's the same sort of stuff that you get fed kind of year in, year out. I think the real product needs to start going on the park for us to start believing what we're hearing, and I think the fans are pretty clear on that. I think it's shown in the first few games, plus what's happened in Europe as well. I think the fans have made it clear that we need to start seeing product on the park before we start believing everything that we're hearing.
What's it like in a dressing room, Stephen, that totally hypothetically, because you're not there, you don't know what Nicholas Raskin's done, you don't know how Russell Martin reacted, but see, just generally, if there is that
friction,
yeah, is it did the other players find themselves like naturally taking sides? Is that just like human nature?
I don't think you take sides too much. I think you can be a wee bit maybe sympathetic to the player if you feel they've been hard done by, or equally if you think they've been out of line, you can have but a bit of frustration with them. But I think when the kind of game start, and if he's one of your better players, you want him in your team. I think it's a break. I think it's a bit risky, depending on how serious the believed
whatever it was. Yeah. And again, I appreciate we are being hypothetical. Are teammates willing to overlook perceived issues if the player is good?
100%.
Yeah, just 100%. Like, oh, I think swallow this and get him in the team.
100%. I think you want your best players. If you think different, if he's not one of their best players, if he's not performing, then it will maybe start to turn, and then you would be certainly more lenient towards the manager. But if
you're a Rangers fan, there must be good news in the sense that everybody wants Raskin in the team, right? He's a Belgium international, he's a good player. People think he's probably Rangers' best midfield player. He's included in the European squad, isn't he?
Yeah, but I think he had to be, didn't he?
And if he stays, he needs to be.
But that tells you that it's not a total split for me. Yeah, that tells me there could be a road back.
Of course, but see, once he doesn't move, does that not just have to be the case? For all parties, how on earth could you have him completely bombed between now and January?
Well, you're playing a massive game against Celtic, you bombed him.
I know, but I mean, for that, but now that he's here, because he might have left on deadline day and he didn't.
I take that on board. But if it's that bad and that split was that bad between the manager and Raskin, then I think he needs to put him somewhere else.
Did anyone take your side when you fell out with Graham Alexander?
Nope.
Funny that.
I think they're like, oh, you go, let him go. No, I think with the thing that's interesting, we speak about Brendan Rodgers' comments about Ida leaving. Russell Martin made comments regarding players as if maybe their attitudes weren't right. Dessers was the only one that had kind of had a bid for him, and he trained really well and spoke very highly of him.
It was your teammates that made him come out with all that stuff because you played so well against them.
If this is an underlying problem, obviously Celtic have got possible issues going on in the background, possible. Rangers is obviously on the pitch. It hasn't had the results they need, but this has gone on for a wee while now at Rangers, however many years. Something has to change, and at some point you need to buy into a manager, and I'm not saying Russell Martin's the right one or the wrong one, but you need to buy, the manager needs to get the clout to make the decisions that maybe previous ones maybe haven't made. And if Raskin is part of the problem, whether or not he's your best centre mid or your biggest asset, which I think he is a good player, you need to back the manager. So for me, it's a possible worrying sign that if, depending on what's happened, if Martin's not been back to get him out because he sees him as a problem, if that problem's still there and festering, it can then start to grow. And when the bad performance comes,
problem is for Russell Martin, he doesn't have a lot of goodwill amongst the Rangers fans.
And that's then the biggest issue, the pressure. You see it, it's everything, everyone that's played for the old firm that I speak to, the pressure's ridiculous. And therefore, that is the thing that obviously has kept Raskin. And hopefully as a way back, because for Scottish football, you want a strong Rangers, you want a strong Celtic. That was the most disappointing thing for me as a neutral with the summer there, was not who was brought in, who wasn't, was the kind of European performances, because for Scotland national team to be successful, we needed we need everyone to be kind of pushing in the right direction, and we just haven't been.
As a neutral, he says. Thank you to Stuart on Beat the Pundit. That was a good effort. The coin is on its way to you, Stuart. Well done. Speaking of, what a beautiful transition from you as well there. You said about the national team and everyone pulling in the one direction. And Matthew is on the line with that in mind. Matthew, take it away.
How you doing, guys? You all right?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. We're over in Copenhagen just now. And I've been sitting listening, as I do every night, to Clyde One. I thought, I need to change the narrative because I'm sick of talking about how bad Celtic Rangers are. So let's talk about the Bonnie Scotland.
I thought you were going to say how bad Scotland are.
No, I came over here to actually cheer myself up.
Wow. Let's hope they do. So what are you thinking and what's the feeling? Cause
my question to you guys is, what do you think the team should be tomorrow night, and especially up front? I'm really buzzing the fact that Kieran Bowie is in the squad from Hibs, because I've watched him this season. I thought he's been really good. However, I know what Steve Clark's like, and it's tried and tested and all that jazz. So what do you guys think?
Well, Stephen, you've been in the environment and you know how sort of loyal Steve Clark can be and so on. What do you think?
Look, I certainly think with the pull out of Tierney, I think that's throwing things up in the air. I thought it would have been a back five. I could have been wrong, but I thought it was going to be a back five with Robertson, Tierney, and that obviously isn't going to happen now. So I think it could be a four, because I do think that is suited towards Kieran being left centre back. So I'm now thinking a four. I think the striker, personally, I would go, I think Bowie's looked good, looked powerful, looks athletic. But Shea Adams, the last time we played Denmark, and I think there are a couple of their players have retired since then, he was, I don't know if you can remember the game, Matthew, but he was exceptional. And sometimes there can be omens, there can be players that just maybe got up for an environment. Hopefully he brings on that kind of confidence he must have had that night and delivers a similar performance. So I would have thought Adams.
I wonder if more than that, right? Because I'm kind of like Matthew in the sense that I'm excited about Kieran Bowie, and it's new and it's shiny and I would love to see it. And Shea Adams, whether it's his fault or not, has also been part of some disappointing nights for Scotland. But Shea Adams scored a hat-trick in his last Scotland game, and I know people will say, it was a couple of months ago, or it was only Liechtenstein. But there has to be room for a bit of that, Gordon. Yeah, Shea Adams and you score a hat-trick, and then in the next game that you could possibly be picked for, and I know, again, I can hear the counter-arguments, people say, I thought it was going to be the kind of play the players on form. But on that, take a look at international football. There's not a country in the world who constantly just changes everybody just because of what they've done from 1 month to the next. You can't do that. If Shea Adams scored a hat-trick in his last game, would it be that surprising to see him start?
No, Adams will start tomorrow night. I'm certain of that. But I totally agree with Matthew. I'm excited to see what Bowie can bring. I think he can bring, obviously, something different. That bit of physicality up top, that he can go and hold the ball up, he can go and win flick-ons. We've got guys like McTominay, whether Christie plays, Doak plays, that can go in behind. So we can mix our game up. We've got a good balance here. But I think Adams will start the game tomorrow. I was listening to Stephen there. I think he's a certainty to be a back four. I think he'll give him a back four. Does he give him a Hickey at right back?
He's going to have to now.
Was that before Tierney pulled out?
Yeah. I don't think Tierney's that sort of a... If he'd have been fitting with the squad, I don't think they would have put Tierney in at left. I think he'd have stuck to his four. Tierney's to get up to his speed.
Is there now another potential positive from that? Because there was a time when the only priority was to fit Kieran Tierney and Andy Robertson into the team. But what about Ben Gannon-Doak, as he's now referred to?
Because
if you're going to play a back three, a back five, he can't play, but is unlikely to play.
Yeah, and that's why I think it'll be a four. And I think he'll probably play two in front, and he'll play the three with Doak as one on the right and Adams up top. And
McTominay, Gilmore. Does Christie play next to Gilmore?
Well, do you know, the big question will be
or
in
is
that
it the
one.
Old Kenny McLean, yeah, he's a big fan.
That's a question, Matt.
Christie hasn't played, I think, so early on in the season. There's not many of the boys who've played that many games, so it's really going to be a tricky one.
Did you find, because Steve Clark did say this when he named the squad, you've been in a lot of squads at all times of the season. Is this first one, is the September International a bit tricky because players might have moved, players might not have played.
100%, because you're not really picking.
By the way, Andy Robertson's not really played that much.
There's not enough games to actually say you've picked somebody off performances. It's kind of just on what you've got a feeling. I think it was the Serbia game was this kind of time, and you're going off
November actually. That was November,
it a month later?
Yeah. 2 months.
And it was good memory of that. And it's like you just need to kind of go off kind of gut feeling along with who you've trusted. And I think there is obviously that balance.
Who do you think the balance will be with Gilmore then? Who do you think he'll
and is Gilmore for? Definitely playing?
I think Gilmore will play.
Has to play.
I think he'll play. Would you not?
It could be maybe Ferguson deep. But my thought process was I thought it was going to be a five because I thought there was a five away in Copenhagen. If you come away from here with a point, it's a hell of a good result. And a five, if it's not going well, you can go to the offensive 4-3-3, mm-hmm. bring on Doak to hopefully bring a spark, change a game. If you start with that and it doesn't go well, what do you change?
Because so don't think Doak will start tomorrow?
Well, I think he could be now. I wouldn't have started him originally because he's also not played huge amounts of football. Mm-hmm.
So if Kieran Tierney was in the squad and fit, you wouldn't, okay.
But obviously, I now think that the four is probably suited better to the personnel, and then Doak would play.
Matthew, are there other issues for you? Anything else you're looking at apart from the number nine position?
No, it's good points that the panel made tonight, and the fact that Kieran Tierney's out does kind of change the shape for us. Definitely a 4-4-2 for me. We've been playing that for the last since Kieran Tierney got injured in Munich. To be honest, I would continue with that. And one question, does anybody know where the triple name of Ben, Gannon, Doak came from?
It's a personal decision. I know, personal decision from him over the summer. I think it's a family thing. I think wanting to include parents' names, so who are we to argue?
I would certainly play him, definitely. But I want to see Kieran Bowie from Hibs. I'm a Celtic fan, but I've been really impressed with him. I'd rather him at Parkhead than Ian Atchell, to be honest.
Well.
And certainly, I would give Adams a shot, the two of them beside each other, just because of Kieran Bowie's physicality. He's played really well in Europe this season, scored an outstanding goal as well. So, yeah.
Are you enjoying Copenhagen?
So far, to be fair, we're not long here. We've had a couple of beers. We're sitting in the house and we're just about to go out and go to...
It does sound quite civilised.
That sounds very civilised.
Did you not go...
We went on Christmas too, that's what I was saying.
How extra is that? What's happened to the modern football? Motherwell, meant to be community club, men it's of the people. Copenhagen
we
from
used
our
to
Christmas
do. Edinburgh or somewhere like that, Kirkcaldy.
Are you getting any night spots to recommend for
you know if the price is right, that's the same. It used to be, for us it's if the flight's right.
Right, okay.
If you get the right flight time, we're there.
You nearly missed it though. Did you not? I seem to remember on the show that night.
We did panic, but we got there fine.
Any night spots to recommend for Matthew?
We went to a nightclub that was actually...
Man of your age.
Watch what you're doing in
nightclub.
Was it Musio? Musio, really good.
Did one of your teammates not get up and sing in a bar or something?
I missed that. I was tucked in my it was a...
Oh, that's his story.
We were in these like bunk beds. There were sixes in the room. It was pretty rough that side. Good value though. But it was, singing away. Who was it? Really good singer. He's a really good singer.
Who was it again?
Are you allowed to know that?
We spoke about it at the time.
Blaney. He's at Livingston.
He's now at Livingston.
Really, 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 really good.
But he went up and like, as in...
He entertained the full pub.
Like he, so there was a singer on who went for a break and he did like a cabaret section.
And seemingly they wanted him back.
Black.
He was better.
He'd have been better going there.
Someone asked him if, like, do you do that?
Bit extra money. Anyway, thank you to Matthew from the South Side out in Copenhagen. That was a pleasure, Matthew. We appreciate you taking the time when you're out there to call us. It means a lot, genuinely. So thanks again. If you've any thoughts on tomorrow, who should play up front? Is it Bowie or Adams? Is it a back three? Is it a back four? Does Ben Gannon Doak play? Does he not? All these types of questions and your general thoughts on that or anything else, good time to call. We'll speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Stephen O'Donnell is here alongside Gordon DL. It's 0141 951 1025. So get your calls in, please. Let us know what you're thinking, whether it is the fallout. I'm not sure we've ever had 4 day fallout from the transfer window, to be honest. This could be a new situation for us. But to be fair, it has developed a bit, because then the free agent signing was the following day, and then the Europa League squads are announced. So it has naturally rumbled on a bit. And of course, there's a massive game for Scotland coming up. Don't forget, every person who calls tonight as well goes into the hat for a pair of tickets to the Saturday at the Ladbrokes Air Gold Cup. So it's the 18th, 20th of September. All you need to do is make a point to the panel. We'll stick you in the hat for the tickets as well. I think I've got a full-time teaser for you. I don't know if I can find it somewhere. There we go. You'll like this one.
That'll be international guaranteed.
Yes, oh. It is. No, listen, see, before you dive in again, well, a bit of patience, just take a breath. You'll find out that it's linked to club football, linked to a lot of what we've been talking about, withdrawals today, etc. So Christopher in Newark Hill has sent it in since 2010. Who are the last nine players to score for Scotland and Celtic in the same calendar year? So quite a good question, this. Since 2010, who were the last nine players to score for Scotland and Celtic in the same calendar year?
Armstrong.
Yes.
Christie.
Yes. Leave it there for a second, because I have to ask you. You were a long time admirer of Stuart Armstrong on this show.
Found Armstrong.
No, here's the thing, you didn't.
I did.
I think he was like the young player of the year already, and you tried to claim that you discovered this new upcoming teenager at Dundee United.
He played with Dundee United at Celtic Park. He was about 17, 18.
No. It was like his 50th appearance, I remember it.
Okay. He was absolutely brilliant. And I come on here and I told everybody Celtic would have go and sign him. He was that good.
Okay.
And what happened? He went on to a brilliant career.
The reason I'm asking is he's now signed for Aberdeen, and I wonder how good a move you thought that was.
I know he's not played a lot of football, but he's experienced. Obviously, this man sitting next to me knows him better than me. I always thought he would be a brilliant professional, probably looking after himself. I think that experience going into Aberdeen, it will be a good signing for him.
You do know him well from the national team setup. He is obviously towards the back end of his career, like that generation
like
is. Well, I was going to say that, but still, surely got a lot to offer Aberdeen.
Look, again, Stuart looks after himself. Again, I think whenever you go down south, and they all kind of go to another level with how their nutrition and all those kind of things, and he's in some nick. If his body is still physically like able to compete, if that makes sense, like if niggling injuries and stuff like that, if he's fine, he will definitely be a great acquisition for Aberdeen. He's got so much talent, and makes it look so effortless, and has done his full career, which is hell of a frustrating.
It just feels like Aberdeen, because there's understandable negativity, but it feels like the last three signings they brought in have raised the expectation a bit. Yeah. You look at Kevin Nisbet coming back, Jesper Karlsson's got 14 Sweden caps, he's got a proper pedigree. Be interesting to see if they turn out to be as good as people think they will be.
Well, they need to be. They certainly need to hit the ground running. They've got off to a disaster start in the league. No points. Losing to Falkirk, obviously, would go down to 10 men. They're sitting staring up. I think that there's still goodwill there after the Scottish Cup win, Gordon. I think these fans will still stick by them. But it can only go so long. The board have certainly backed them. Let's be honest about that. So he's no arguments there. He's got players in the building now in good areas, especially up front, Nisbet can get you goals. So they have to start getting their league campaign off and running.
How many Scotland caps do you think you shared with Stuart Armstrong? I'm throwing extra quizzes at you now.
Caps did you get, Stephen?
26. I'd have said,
I'd be about curious.
17.
Ooh, 15. Not bad. Let's bring in Matt on the line. How are you, Matt?
Oh, a bit better. But my God, see the Rangers and Celtic supporters. See what's happening. Transfer, Mike. It's done. My God, they would get an anodyne or sore heat up. Well, let's forget about it.
Steady, Matt. Matt. It keeps us going in the international break. Don't mock it.
But Scotland's playing tomorrow. The Bonnie Scotland. Let's think of them. And right. I'm really looking forward to it.
Go for it. What are you thinking then?
Well, with a young talent, we'll go, I think. Only worry I've got is maybe Stevie Clark goes out and he lost the game. I don't want to let him play the young boys. Have a go at this mob and get us to Mexico. Arriba, arriba, adiante. Let's go and see Speedy Gonzalez.
Oh, my word. I'm going to stop him before he throws any other Mexican stereotypes and gets us in trouble.
A lot of enthusiasm, Matt. I like it.
I do like it indeed. Right,
Speedy Gonzalez.
I think Matt hits on an interesting point about the dynamic of this group, though, right? Because Unfortunately, it's two away games to start, Denmark and Belarus. I do think that that makes a difference. I think that's tough. It's a four-team group. It's over in 10 weeks. You're used to this, you know, World Cup campaigns. They span the new year. They start early. You know, you've got a bit of time maybe to make up for a poor start. Yep. Four teams. Denmark away, Belarus away. We've also got Greece in our group. We saw what they were capable of previously. Rangers fans know all about Cholis, who just played for Club Bruges against them. So Matt saying, I hope he doesn't set out to go and not get beat, which I do understand, but a point in Denmark wouldn't be the worst start either, would it?
If you come away for these two games with 4 points, I'm sitting really optimistic. Couldn't care where they came. The 4 points would be an exceptional start. I think three leaves it all open. I definitely think we need three in the first two games, without doubt.
Because the harsh reality then, say you do lose to Denmark, you then are already worried about the margin of that. You know, if you lose 1-0, you've got the chance, if it could come down to head-to-head at Hampden. But anything more than that, already you feel really up against it.
I just think whenever it's one team's going through, it needs to be, you're going for that position, and hopefully, worst case, you fall short and you come second and you're able to go in a playoff. But I just think it's going to be tough. And you've seen the playoffs before, Ukraine last time. It's difficult. You're playing against top sides. I think, I hope we can win the group, but it is going to be very tough. And I hope that this result tomorrow isn't a make or break regarding attitude and fans, because the players are going to need everyone behind pushing in the same direction. You see it at the Old Firm clubs just now. When there is a disconnect with the club, the fans, it makes it a lot harder for the players, and we will need everybody on board for this campaign.
I agree, when you go away from home, especially to a team of the standard of Denmark, you would grasp a point just now. Of course you would. 4 points would be brilliant for the next two games. Three would be acceptable. But we've got to go off to a good start.
I think three could be problematic if it was a heavy defeat against Denmark.
Yeah, well, we're hoping it's not going to be that case tomorrow night. But I do think we've got players that we can, certainly middle to front, we can, you know, hurt teams and score goals. It's whether we can defend at the back properly, and hopefully we can.
I think something that hopefully we'll learn from the last game was, I missed it through COVID, but seemingly the atmosphere over in Denmark and Copenhagen was electric. So hopefully the players, there's a good nucleus of that squad still there. They can kind of draw on that experience to maybe not be caught short in the start of the game and be ready. I know obviously the players play at a high level, they have big atmospheres, but you even seen with Arsenal a couple of years ago trying to mimic Liverpool. So you're kind of
bringing
going,
the speakers out. Bringing the
speakers
ground.
Out. So
that was
a
low moment.
It was a low moment, but it is hard to play in some environments. So hopefully the experience can be drawn on from the last one and be a good night for us.
Matt, who starts up front? Is it Shea Adams, Kieran Bowie, someone else?
I would give the young boy Kieran Bowie a thing, because I need cheered up, because I'm a Rangers supporter and I was excited last Sunday when I seen the big centre forward starting. It's like, reminds me a few years ago, it was Christmas Eve, you're all excited, then you wake up in the morning and they've opened the beds and Moz all tights with two tangerines and a Mars bar. And you cheered up.
Gordon, I think there is an excitement about Kieran Bowie.
I remember the days.
It's still early for him, isn't it? And I also get why people do this. They go, what do you mean, if you're good enough you're playing? And that's fine, but there's still room for just a bit of that. You know, would it be the end of the world if Kieran Bowie then becomes a good option off the bench for Scotland? Maybe he will start the game, but you would expect to see a bit of him over the two games. Would that
yeah,
be fair?
Yeah, I do agree with that. I think he'll use the squad. He's got good players there.
And they have a similar, because Lyndon Dykes is in obviously for the job he's done for Scotland before. Mm-hmm. And again, I know he's an easy target, but let's not forget some of the jobs he's done for Scotland mm-hmm. before. George Hurst is, I feel like there's a kind of similarity between the three of them. That'd be fair in terms of, like,
I'd have thought Bowie would have been the most dynamic.
Yeah.
I think you're going for Bowie direct, because we see more of him here, more of him. Yeah. Of course, I don't think he'll start a game. I've absolutely 100% confident he's not going to start a game tomorrow, but he could make an impact in the next couple.
Hurst has
games.
Played the most games so far this season. That's anything to go off.
More than Bowie?
Yep. Bowie, I mean, out the shade, the ones that deemed being the
Do you think he'll go with Hurst before Adams?
I don't think so. I think it'll be Adams, but just out of
the is there an issue in goal? I need you to answer a bit quicker.
I think
it wasn't a hugely difficult question.
I think Angus Gunn will come. He'll be
Angus Gunn's now the third choice goalkeeper at Nottingham Forest.
I thought it could have been Xander with the fact that he's been playing. But I know there's been some scrutiny under his performances.
Difficult balance. It's difficult because if it's who's playing, it's Xander Clark all day long. Obviously, he's the only one that's played.
He's playing, yeah.
But he's been getting a bit of stick for his performances. Mm-hmm. Angus Gunn would sort of, in theory, be the number one, you know, like having played the Euros.
Yeah, he was the number
also,
one goalkeeper.
I think maybe forget that disastrous Knighton goal that we try not to mention mm-hmm. over the summer. He did start the game and had to come off after a few minutes. That's where the whole Kieran Slicker debacle unfolded from. But as a wider point, we can talk about who's playing tomorrow, but as a wider point, again, we've gone from, you know, having brilliant choices over the years to now either Nottingham Forest third choice, Rangers second choice, or Xander, who's been getting a bit of stick, and Hearts have now signed a new keeper, so you wonder what that looks like going forward.
Yeah, it's a big decision for Steve Clark. He'll sit down there, he'll obviously, goalkeeping coach will be involved in everything. He'll have something in his mind, but I think he'll go with Angus Gunn. I'm going to be honest and say that.
Okay, thank you to Matt with some brilliant points about Mexico and
Christmas.
His mum's tights or something.
Yeah, Christmas tangerines.
From that, Christopher's teaser tonight was, who are the last 9 players to score for Scotland and Celtic in the same calendar year? You've got Christie and Armstrong.
McGregor must be one.
He is indeed one, yes.
Forrest?
Forrest, yes. Tierney, no. I think Tierney's Scotland goals only came when he was. Has he only got one actually? Was it the Poland? Anyway, he's not on the list.
Griffiths.
Yes, we'll get the rest of the answers when we return. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. That's us into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Stephen O'Donnell and Gordon DL are here. They're doing fairly well on this teaser. Let me thank Christopher and Newt Hill for sending it in once again. And if you like the sound of it, you think that you've got what it takes, you could easily come up with a question and send it in and hear it used on the show, then let's do it. fulltime@clyde1.com is the email that you need. Since 2010, who are the 9 players to score for Scotland and Celtic in the same calendar year? You've got Callum McGregor, Ryan Christie, James Forrest, Lee Griffiths, Stuart Armstrong.
Scott Brown must be one.
He is.
Sean Maloney?
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh. That's a good one, though.
No.
Well, obviously not.
Ryan Christie.
We said that. Did we?
You got him about half an hour
ago. Oh, sorry. Okay.
Charlie Mulgrew?
Yes. Okay, you've got 2 to get.
Ralston?
No, we'll get it before. Ooh.
That's a shout. He scored it.
I know, but maybe not in the same calendar year.
Ah, oh, of course he did.
No, scored against Armenia. Christopher's even sent his working. Scored against Armenia in 2022. Didn't score for Celtic that year. Right, we'll leave it there. You've only got 2 to get. Let's bring in Justin on the phones. Take it away, Justin.
Hi, guys. After the chaos that was the transfer window, it was just a hearing his thought about, obviously I was on about Russell Martin and especially he's under and everything else. I don't think he's now getting anywhere to hide. And it's going to come down to whether he keeps his job. It's going to be down to whether he gets the best out of players or not. I don't think he can blame anything else. The players on rest, transfer windows, basking, anything like that. He's had more money invested in his team than any other manager since Advocat. I mean, which when you think of it, it's quite a massive statement or quite a massive thing to do. Because Gerrard never had half the money that he's had in his first season. None of them have had that kind of investment. And it was just keen to see what he thought, whether you think he's going to be able to handle the pressure of that, or whether it's the wheels are going to come off the bus. I think if they do, I think it'll be a January clear out start again, because I don't think he's got anywhere left behind now.
Interesting question, Gordon. I don't know if you did you see in the Kevin Thelwell stuff yesterday, he revealed that Rangers' net spend was £20 million this window.
Yeah.
So people are now putting two and two together and saying, well, there must be big loan fees there, or is that wages? Because I think if you were to tot it up, you know, the transfer fees that they've paid, they brought in for Iggeman, no one thought Rangers' net spend was £20 million, but Kevin Thelwell says it is. So you understand where Justin's coming from?
100%. I think Russell Martin must sit there and know that he's been heavily backed. What was it? 12, 13 players he's brought in?
13, I think.
Yeah. 13. So he's been given every opportunity. He certainly needs to pick up the results. He's got Hearts and Hibs in the cup, which will be difficult. Hearts, obviously, under Derek McInnes, have put a lot of investment in this year. They fancy it as well. So two big games coming up for him. He needs to get this, his strongest 11 for me on the pitch for a few games. Get that style of play that everybody talks about, that, you know, when he was at MK and Dons, when he was at Southampton, this is the way he played. I've not seen a lot of that yet. I know a lot of people were happy that he mixed up a little bit on Sunday against Celtic. He's got a striker now that I think he could be a real good bit of business in the transfer window, Majovski. I think he'll be terrific. I watched him Sunday. His work rate, everything about him as well. He's got plenty of options. He's got players all over the pitch. If he can solve the thing we're asking as well, it gives him real strength in the middle of the park. But as a Rangers manager, you need to start getting results, because Rangers fans haven't changed their mind on him yet. The Rangers fans, the biggest percentage of them still want him out the door. So he's got to win them round. And the only way you can win them round is go and start winning games.
20 million net spend, that's decent.
Look, I think for just, I wouldn't get too caught up in especially comparing him back to like Dick Advocaat and stuff, because 9 million for, how much, 9 million for Torre Andre Flo?
12.
Imagine that now, 12 million for a striker back then, probably equivalent to what, 50? 50 million probably now?
A lot anyway.
Maybe more so. I wouldn't get too caught with that. What I would say is it's a lot of money, and he's certainly been backed if that's the case. And I certainly think you need to see better performances to reflect that. I think the results can come. I know Rangers and Celtic really needs to be quick, but if you want to see these players kind of settling in, they need a wee bit of time. And a lot of them have been brought in last minute. Mm. The Celtic games goes out the window, because you don't need any motivation for Celtic. Celtic is a game where they're going to try and win. I know it didn't look like that both teams were trying to win, but they're both at it. Celtic is not the similar game to every other game you're going to face this season, where there is a massive underdog. So it will be harder in the games to come. But I think if performances were to get a wee bit better and look more creative, would you be happier, Justin? Or do you still think Martin then would be under even more pressure if you were seeing a really good game and maybe just the finishing touch wasn't quite right?
I personally gave him the benefit of the doubt, and I was giving him the benefit of the doubt when he first came in. Initially, I was looking at it and thinking, this is the same manager that benched Joe Aribo at South.
Oh, it's broken up a bit from Justin. It's funny though that he makes the point, because it's exactly what I thought when I heard that £20 million fee. You can just take that two totally different ways. The first one is that's great. That's a real sign of belief. It's a real commitment from the new ownership. But on the other side of it, it's, oh, you've no excuses now. Then you know that.
But one of those,
damned if you do, damned if you don't.
One of those
bit.
Players cost you between 8 and 10 million. So you've already put that way in one player. Look, I think the Rangers board have come out and made that intent. They've come out and backed their manager, which is perfectly fine. I've not got a problem with that. I listened to Stephen there. I would probably go the other way. I think if you go and play Hearts and get put out the cup with Hibs and your performances have been good and it's just that end product, I think the manager wouldn't last. I think when you're a manager of Rangers, first and foremost, the now, especially Russell Martin with the start domestically, he's got to
but
get
something
results.
Hasn't been working for years, because they haven't beat Celtic, which is their prime goal, is to win the league. So do you not accept that? Can fans not see that something needs to change, and it hasn't? Whatever's been happening previously hasn't worked.
Do you not think
either?
That I see the sense in what you're saying. Do you not think that would have been fine if that had happened then at the start of the season? It's probably quite hard to ask for that now.
But it's four games in.
I know, but do you know what I mean? It's like some of the points dropped and stuff have been so annoying.
And against teams that obviously muddle away,
because the problem is, so say they played well and didn't win in the next two league games, and all of a sudden you've not won any of your opening six. I mean, that's just like unthinkable, isn't it?
See anyway, what Stephen's saying. I think it's because so many fans are against the Rangers manager.
It's the old goodwill in the tank. That's what we say.
I think that's a massive problem for him.
Anyway, right. Celtic players who've scored for the club and Scotland in the same calendar year, the last nine: McGregor, Christie, Forrest, Griffiths, Armstrong, Mulgrew, Brown and I'm going two more.
Did I say Chris Collins? Did I say him?
Oh, you didn't say Chris Collins, no.
That's a good one.
Is he there?
He is, well done.
Well done. Right, okay, I'm struggling with the last one.
I don't think... Henry? Mulgrew? Henry?
You've got Mulgrew. Henry has never scored for Celtic.
Or Scotland?
No, he has. Yeah, got a couple, I think. But anyway.
Steve McManus?
No.
Gary Caldwell?
I'll tell you why you don't have this. Because you've... He didn't score that many for Scotland and he didn't score that many for Celtic, but he did in the same calendar year.
Tony Watt?
No.
Oh, that's a good shot.
Never scored for Scotland. Scotland. Here's the clue that will seal it for you. It will mean absolutely nothing to him, but he did score in Steve Clarke's first ever game in charge.
Oh, bro. Oh my gosh. It should.
What else?
Ollie Burke.
Oliver Burke, well done. Thank you.
Now
I'm glad he's here. So nervous.
Thank you to Stephen O'Donnell, Gordon DL, but the biggest thanks always goes to you for keeping us company, calling, tweeting, getting in touch. Much appreciated as always. Those of you watching on the YouTube stream as well, of course, these days, don't forget to subscribe over there, and you can catch up on tonight's show wherever you get your podcasts. We are back tomorrow. It is a massive night for Scotland, so make sure you join us, and we will wish you well for the rest of your Thursday and speak to you soon.